forsooth, adverb, archaic. In truth, in fact, indeed. Now used in derision or to express disbelief.
So we're back for episode 3.
Episode 3 of the new season. Which season are we on again?
Three.
Nice. We're not doing this March. That was a mistake.
We're not going to what?
We're not doing this in March. That was a mistake.
Well, I'm glad we're not doing it in March.
3-3-3.
By the way, that
Wait,
is
who are you?
That is the voice of Erica Martin. Erica, introduce yourself.
I think you kind of did. Erica Martin. I know these people, and...
Do you though?
Or I think I do.
All right. I guess you're wondering why I brought you all here today. We have to find a way to kill Superman.
Right.
Erica, tell me what do you do for a living?
I kind of dabble in a few things. So I do graphic design, I do sculpting, some painting, lately some art classes as well. So
are you like you're teaching art classes?
Yeah.
Really? I was not aware of that.
My mom has a business, so like I actually have been helping her since like 2003 teaching classes.
How have I not known this? Like I know all the other stuff. In fact, I've seen a lot of the stuff you've done.
It's not something I do all the time.
I've seen a lot of the stuff you do. It's really awesome work.
Thanks.
I've always been a big fan of the stuff you do, but I had no idea that you were teaching people also.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. We used to teach at the Camera Arts Center, and now we do like a lot of tutoring classes at various houses.
None of those like drinking wine and painting classes?
She's done like one, but I don't know how well it went.
I don't imagine those would go too well, depending on how much
wine.
Right. You get a giant box of wine, and you just literally just get everyone liquored
up. Just a box?
Yeah.
Eventually you stop painting and you start having fun.
Well, yeah. Maybe you start painting with the wine, who knows?
I imagine that was probably a problem.
Mix it with the paint, add some interesting washes.
That would make an interesting wash.
Some watercolors.
Yeah.
Wine colors.
Wine watercolors. But, no, that's some interesting stuff there. It's actually funny, a couple of our other people that we've had on, like Lindsay, does a lot of graphic work too, graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
You're also good friends with Lindsay.
Yep. Yep. She's a little more savvy with the graphic design stuff. I think I'm more on like the
physical end.
Yeah, I'm more on like the illustrating kind of end of it.
Well, you also have, I know you're not unfamiliar with doing like physical, not just sculpting, but other mediums as well. I've seen some of the work you've done there. You're very good at making things like props and kind of like building things from like the get.
Right, yeah. That kind of, involves like being well-versed in like a little bit of all the fine art kind of stuff, because it's like, especially in a small production, you don't have, you know, painters taking it on, and then other, you know, it doesn't go from department to department. So it's good to kind of know how to paint and how to sculpt and how to do molds.
Kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah,
I was gonna say a mixed medium jack of all trades.
Right. Yeah. Some slight bit of carpentry in there, but I'm trying to avoid it.
Just saying, if I needed anyone to help me rebuild like the world, I'd probably pick you. You've got so many skills. Not that way.
Maybe that way, but not your business.
Not my business. No, so we're here today to talk about some fun stuff that's going on. We usually cover things with regards to technology or media, like news, entertainment, stuff like that. You being in the graphic design and being well-versed in the art world, I'm sure you're pretty big fan of comic books, right?
Some. I mean, I didn't really grow up with them. It was more like Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh.
That's still a comic book.
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, it's not like the typical, like, you know, Superman,
like
Batman.
Saturday
stuff,
morning cartoon type
stuff. Yeah, for sure.
But that was still some really good stuff.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. That was
Calvin and Hobbes had some really deep shit.
That's like everybody's entry point, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's,
I love
that's where...
Calvin and Hobbes.
That and the Sunday morning... cartoons in the newspapers.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, that was my, like, whenever the newspaper came in on Sunday, my mom went and got the newspaper, I grabbed those right away.
Yep.
And then eventually down the line, I found out the comic book shops existed, and, like, there were whole books of drawings, and I was all
then,
give me that.
And then you absolutely had something to copy onto your Silly Putty.
What?
Silly Putty.
Oh, no, where you can, like, press it and then you, have. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That was a lot of fun.
As a comic book collector at my young age, I would never have put Silly Putty.
No one cares about the newspapers for that shit.
No, I'm talking about comic books. I would never press. I'm talking about newspapers. Press.
Who does that to a real book? Besides the ink's not even right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the ink
and the paper is what really allows it to happen with the newspapers.
Well, I love making collages actually out of comic books, like the cheap comic books. You'd go to like the stores and you get like the 3-pack for a buck. Mm-hmm. The really just like off brand like
you could also Timmy's do a lot comics. Of really interesting art with that. Like I used to do nail art with the older, you know, kind of crappier comic books and newspapers and stuff like that.
That's cool.
That was more of a transfer, right?
It was transfer onto the nails. It would come backwards, but like if it's a picture, who cares?
Yeah, and it's so small.
Yeah. You just get like a real quick coat of clear nail polish and then press it on there and then do a couple of coats of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, Monica
was. And then that would transfer it easily, and then you just do a light clear cut on top.
Monica was a mixed media nail artist. She used to, back in the day when she used to paint her nails, she would do it like once every 3 days, and it was always a different style. Remember there was this one where she would literally paint on water with the nail polish, and then she would dip her fingers into it.
Oh, I've seen
that. The water nail.
Yeah, the marbling.
Mm-hmm. The water marbling was really fun. Being able to draw designs in it.
See,
no, because you do Vaseline around your skin.
Okay.
And then you can just wipe that off once the nail dries. So you don't have any kind of problem with it getting on your skin. Because if you accidentally get on your cuticles or on your skin around it, then the nail polish will peel off way faster.
I gotta be honest with you guys. I don't think the point of the podcast is for fingernail like advice.
For beauty tips?
But yeah, whatever people get from whatever, I'm happy for.
That's what happens when you have two different kinds of mixed artists. Nail art is legit.
It is.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about.
And I did gaming stuff. I had Gears of War nails at one point and all kinds of other shit, man.
She did a lot of. I hate the smell of nail polish. It was literal hell.
That's why I stopped, is because of you.
So, you didn't really read the comic books that much, but have you been a fan of the movie universes?
Yeah, some of them. I mean, like, I got into Spider-Man a little bit in, like, high school. Because we had, like, a book about, like, all the Spider-Man, like, villains and just the backstory and everything, so. And then the movies, of course.
Were you a fan of the second one, the best Spider-Man? Not the new set, the first original set, Spider-Man 2, the Doc Ock.
That one was pretty good.
The first one was
pretty good. I watched it with my grandpa, I remember, in theaters and just, like, I don't know. It's just the effect of like being in a city and like swinging from building to building. I thought it was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't always see what his webbing is attaching to, and sometimes it's like an open field, and you're like, "Come on!"
Yeah, you're like,
"What are you getting?"
Where?
I think that pretty good in the newer model.
Did in the newer model. Yeah, and they also covered the disintegration of the webbing in the newer model a little bit better.
Well, they actually talked about it.
In the older ones, because then you're like, well, he just leaves it there. Like, it's just hanging.
He doesn't care.
From everything.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't care.
And it's just chemicals. It's just, you know, it's not,
but,
not
so,
natural in any way.
So, you know? Did you watch the Avengers movie? Are you a big fan of the whole cinematic universe?
Which one are you talking about?
The whole Avengers story.
I've watched all of them.
All of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Even the Hulk with what's his name? Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I liked it. He was so sensitive.
You won't like me when I'm hungry.
And Liv Tyler. Was it Liv Tyler in that one?
No. That was the Eric Bana one, wasn't it? No, you're right.
I think
Liv
she was
Tyler.
That one.
Wait, was she in both?
I don't know. I haven't watched the other one, but I watched that one.
I think you're right, actually. I think Liv Tyler
Somebody
was.
Needs to look it up and comment on this.
I have no idea. That's hilarious, though. So, did you like the Infinity War?
Was Thanos really right or wrong?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Was Thanos right or wrong?
Was he right or wrong?
I think half of the population thinks that he was right.
Because that half wants to be around.
And the other half is dead.
Well, you know, they actually, someone found out and they looked into the worlds of like other movies and stuff like that to see Like, is Thanos a piece of shit? Is he lying through
his
teeth?
Is he a piece of shit? He's not BoJack Horseman.
I mean, he's
Horseman.
A piece of shit, but he has a point,
well,
you know?
So he's lying through his teeth, apparently.
I do think he has a point, but he is a piece of shit.
So there's a point, actually, where Gamora, like, talks about the fact that he killed half the people on her planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a comment about, like, now all the people, all the children on that planet go to bed with full bellies, and they're all happy, and they're the planet has not known a level of peace.
Liar!
And it's a lie.
Liar.
And it's because when Gamora is being scanned into the prison in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, there's a little piece that is shown on the screen. It's a background of her character.
Yeah.
And it specifically says she's the last of her kind. So now whether Gamora knows this, whether Thanos knows, cares. Thanos doesn't seem like the kind
of
guy
he
that,
cares.
That
like
keeps track of his
and
work.
He's one of those sets and forgets kinds
of people. Yeah, yeah.
Set
it and forget it.
He's like, how deists view God, like, set it into motion, start the whole process, and then peace out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is, like, his philosophy doesn't work. That whole planet, like, after having half their people, like, die, there was a giant, probably, power vacuum, and they
right.
basically murdered each other trying to get to who was on top. Like, that isn't...
And it's also random, too.
Yeah.
Which is the problem.
Yeah. I don't think that's the problem.
If it's random, it's like, who are you leaving behind? Are they able to continue on?
Well,
that,
I mean,
that is definitely a problem, because you kill
point.
All plumbers.
No, okay,
who's fixing
but,
toilets?
But nobody's intentionally killing the plumbers. So the whole point of doing it randomly
yeah. what,
is, no, the entire point of doing it randomly is so that it doesn't look like there's any specific selection based off of race, religion, creed, how much money you have, where you are in society. None of that shit matters.
So you're
just picked randomly. My question is, if you're pregnant, is your baby killed too? Or does it just go splat onto the ground?
Splat on the ground.
And then
no, that's a fact.
It just
splat
goes
on the
splat onto the ground.
Kevin
and then,
Feige
know,
confirmed it.
Dies because you can't. Because it can't be sustained.
Yeah, yeah. Technically, it didn't kill the baby. But the world killed the baby. Like,
so,
like other effects killed
yeah.
it, but the
so
effect
if all
didn't
the mothers,
kill the baby.
If all the expecting mothers just
yeah.
immediately rush to the ER and say, get ready for the machines... Because one of us might be gone, and then...
yeah, they had the prescient knowledge to know that was going to happen.
Well, they announced it, didn't they?
No, they didn't announce
it. Well, they should have.
Did you watch the movie?
I watched the children crying.
But
that
but,
was my bread and butter in that theater.
That was so...
You're a bad
there
parent.
There were so many children in the theater.
Parent,
there were so
parent.
Many children.
Wait, there were kids crying in
there
the
were
theater?
So many,
they, someone
so
bought
many
their
parents
children.
Bringing their children, and they were young children, like 3 and 4, and they were just old enough to have the heroes, but not old enough to understand that this is a movie.
Wiped out in front
and this,
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
see,
like,
especially,
hero.
Especially if Loki's your favorite. Like,
I would
that
say...
was just... It's a 2.5 hour movie, and he died in the first, spoiler alert, first 30 minutes.
He's not dead.
You got, we know that, but the
yeah,
kids don't
was,
know that.
Yeah.
You got 2 more hours. That kid's bawling his eyes out.
God,
that is your fault.
That was pretty bad. But hey, it's no coming in at the last, like, 20 minutes eating nachos.
But I mean, like, they killed
that
off.
It was crazy.
They killed off all, like, the newer.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me how that was random.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, random number generators, they get sticky, and they put that same 3 out like 12 times in a row, and that was it. The 3 represented new heroes.
No, he used a random number generator then. Because
I think he's a liar. I think Thanos is a liar. He's all like, you know what? New Marvel World.
Yeah.
Snap. Gone. You just acquired Spider-Man? Gone.
Okay,
Black Panther? Gone.
No. 2 points about the movie. Quinn is at fault for all of it because he let his emotions get in front of him. Star-Lord.
Quinn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Star- it was just like, dude, seriously.
2 seconds. Just two
really?
More fucking seconds. The glove is almost off.
He ruined
and
everything.
Then you can punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And then also, Thor should have aimed for the head.
Sure should have aimed for the arm.
He could have aimed for the arm as well. But aiming
take
for
the
chest,
arm off.
He's used to the hammer, and he has an axe now. So he's being used to the hammer. Hitting the chest would have been the right move.
And hitting the shoulder, though, breaks the bones.
But doing that with a hammer wouldn't have been as effective at, I don't know, preventing the snap from happening.
Well, I don't
so...
think the snap actually had to happen. I think that's like the joke, like, oh, he had to snap his fingers. But, like, he was able to control that gauntlet with his will.
Can somebody get, like, an apple or something and just glue it into the gauntlet? And then
so
he can't
snap. Well, the reason why I bring it up is that apparently one of the people who worked in the cinematography might have slipped the name of the sequel.
Gasp.
Yes, and so they were trying to keep it a secret until the Brie Larson solo film Captain Marvel comes out, which, you know, is going to be awesome. But,
Brie Larson.
But yeah, no, Trent Opelach. I'm probably saying that horribly.
Opelach.
Opelach. Opelachy.
No, there's no E.
But he released what on his film credit, Avengers Endgame. So if you thought
Final Avengers?
I'm just saying, if you thought the last Avengers was painful, this one has Endgame in the title.
Oh, I hope everyone does.
But it's Endgame for who?
Probably the Avengers as a group.
You never know.
Well, I mean, they already got rid of Hawkeye.
No, Hawkeye's going to be in the next one.
No, he's dead.
You're such a monster.
You don't know.
But, I mean, it's interesting because they always said...
You also don't
know
about Ms. Marvel. They called her, but is she dead? Because it was a 50-50 chance.
Well, no, she's got a movie, so I doubt it. But the thing about
So do the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Feige, whatever his name is pronounced, specifically said that he wants the next generation of Marvel movies to not take place on Earth. He wants it to focus, like, more of a galactic scale.
Then you probably shouldn't have killed the Guardians.
That's true. He did kill most of the Guardians.
Yeah,
the only one that survived was, like, Groot.
Did Quill survive?
Yeah, I'm like, I thought Groot disintegrated too.
Groot's gone. Oh, sorry, did I say Groot? I meant Rocket.
Rocket
was the only one.
Rocket lived.
Yeah, okay. But you know what? That's the thing. They already showed in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a new set of Guardians of the Galaxy, the original set of Guardians of the Galaxies,
well,
in
the
comic books. Adjusting my glasses, nerd frustration. Weren't you guys paying attention?
Okay, well, if they wanted to change the cast up, they could have just said so.
Now we're going to have, what's her name?
They have to have one movie, 30-second kill everybody.
We're going to have Wrecking Ball basically playing Mainframe.
Fuck.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
I hope she's a better actor than she is a person.
So everyone's trying to basically create their cinematic universes to Marvels. DC has basically started again, and now are giving up, kind
hard.
Of.
Yeah.
With the new Joker movies, they're all like, we're doing different galaxies. They don't all have to be connected with the two different Joker movies happening at the same time. But now Valiant Comics is going to get into it. Valiant Comics is jumping into the fray. But to be honest...
With some movies?
Yeah. I'm really happy. But first of all, they're making this one called A Harbinger. Which is basically a comic book like a while back, and they're talking about bringing another one after Harbinger and creating kind of a universe, and that's with Faith. Now, Faith. Oh yeah, Faith is as they call it a plus size superhero. So she doesn't fit
good
the name
for
of
them.
No, she is. Now I'm not saying like she's like model plus size where it's all like, dude, what the heck? That is a normal body proportions.
Right.
Like she is.
No, she's.
She is
very clearly in the obese setting.
Yeah. Medically, yes, she's obese. There's no question that she's obese.
But that doesn't make her less of a hero, less of a person, or less of a wonderful character.
Her name apparently is very apt. So Faith is like a character with just nothing but hope. Apparently, in all the comic books.
Well, then they should name her Hope.
Well, just whatever happens in it, she's always got like this positive demeanor.
And that's great.
And the thing that's actually the best thing about it is in the Valiant Comics world, no one treats her like the plus size superhero.
Oh,
she's
if only we had a world like
a
that.
A superhero.
Right.
And it's like, well, you don't see that today. So, I mean, this is clearly a fake world. Like, I don't know if I can watch these movies. It's going to, like, a suspension of disbelief.
Well, you know, if any of us, like, 100% honest, hand to heart, if any of us had her specific superpowers that weren't specifically we need to be moving around constantly action-based, like telekinesis,
oh, yeah.
self-propelled flight, that kind of thing, we'd all be lardy too. Like,
apparently,
come on.
Apparently she uses that telekinesis all the time. Like, that is literally
that's
her thing.
That's mental exercise, and that's great.
I'm just...
But there's no running necessary, and my lazy ass would
100%.
Right? Well, she flies herself around, and then she can fly other people with her telekinesis.
Right.
I'm fighting
my lazy
really
ass
hard.
Would be like carrying groceries
Look,
with my
no,
mind
you are,
and not with my fucking arms.
You are going down a road that I literally am fighting making jokes about because I want to be supportive.
I am supportive.
I don't
want
to make like
I'm
jokes about like moving the pizza closer to her with her mind.
That is the rule,
but it's the truth.
It's the truth. It's 100% the truth. I would get no exercise.
Yeah,
I would be the person laying in the bed. I'd be like, do you want me to teleport you someplace? For sure. Absolutely. Let me get you that place. And I'm not going to go anywhere. Let me eat my pizza and watch my movies.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Because I'm lazy.
So we're probably going to see her actually in Harbinger. They say the director of Harbinger, the people talking about it, they've indicated that she's going to probably pop up there. As like a cameo or in the movie at some point or maybe even talked about in the world.
And it's live action, right?
Yeah, live action.
So
all live action.
Her?
I don't know if they've actually, like, they've released that information. You know, I was just thinking about this. She lives in a world where, like, no one basically even mentions the fact that she's overweight. Like, she's just a superhero. But
they're probably afraid.
Her superhero name is Zephyr.
I mean, cool. She does have, like, wind powers.
I'm just saying, she's flying in the air, and they're calling her a Zephyr.
She does have, like, wind burst powers.
Superman, like, they're all like, it's a bird, it's a plane. They're all like, oh, it's a giant gaseous ball.
Well, I'm sure he named himself because he had journalistic control over that, Eric.
Yeah, he did. So it's like, oh, I've got an exclusive with Superman. He says Clark Kent's a good guy. You should totally date him, Lois Lane. Superman vouches for me. Oh.
Yeah, he also said, definitely not the same person, Lois Lane. Yeah. Handle-minded, looking identical, with or without glasses.
So Disney makes the Marvel movies. And now this is technology, thinking about flying superheroes, that they're pretty much planning to use for, like, their animatronics in their parks, but also it's a brilliant idea to use this for movies because you can kind of take a little bit of the work off of CGI. You can do more practical effects. But they've made robot superheroes.
I don't think they should be making robots so weird like that at all.
No, it's
they're gonna take over the earth. I'm just saying.
They're already on the way.
When you train a robot to be a superhero, you're just asking for trouble.
Look, you train this robot to go, let's help slash people's bad diet habits, and then suddenly I can't get a pizza, and that's my liner. Monica,
why does this always come back to pizzas at your door?
It's important and it's a rule.
So the thing about it is these robots don't have, like, thought processes. They have reactions. They get sent up in the air when they realize they're at a certain height, when they're moving at a certain speed. They move and they can basically do these, like, perfect superhero poses in midair. And so it's really kind of interesting how they do these things.
CG.
Well, no, it's better than CG because you put up a net, you can use it multiple times, and instead of having to wait for, like, you know, then to work on something for 3 months and spend, like, $1 million on it, you just basically sew it in a dummy up in a costume, and you're good to go.
Put a dummy in a costume. They do that already.
Oh, that's mean.
I love you, stuntmen. Please don't stop.
But anyway, I'm a little worried about that. Stuntmen. So, I mean, they're probably going to remove a lot of the things that stuntmen do by putting in these robots that literally when they realize they're going
to stuntmen are just
going
to have to become better actors or also daredevils.
What? So you want them to, instead of working in an environment where it's controlled and they can do camera edits, you want them doing things in front of a large crowd where they might die.
Yes. Also, Keanu Reeves does his own stunts. So.
Well, no. Keanu Reeves does his own block work and his own actual choreography for his scenes. No studio lets Keanu Reeves do the scene where he crashes a car into a wall or falls out of a building.
That's fair.
That is a contractual thing.
Yeah, that's fair, like, but I don't want to be the ones far as him.
Even
fight
even,
work and jumping off.
Oh yeah,
and
no,
stuff,
yeah, his work is his blocking with regards to stuff like that is amazing. Even Tom Holland said that he wanted to do most of his stunts, but there were just some things they would not let him do for Spider-Man because there was, like, a risk of harm of his life, and you're the face of Spider-Man,
yeah,
for like 20 years probably because it's Disney involved.
They can just CG that in. They're gonna do that with Princess Leia in the next movie.
I just don't know,
right?
If they keep making three,
they managed to do, like, Crazy Stuff with Benjamin Button. I mean,
oh yeah,
that was
yeah.
was really creepy though. His
really
head on
that
small
creepy.
Baby body.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like babies don't come out that big. They're so tiny.
They did the same thing with Chris Evans though when he was Captain America. They put his giant fucking head.
Oh yeah.
On the
tiny little stick body.
Oh. Yeah. Super weird. That was. A bit bizarre.
Oh, so weird.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this will actually help. Because if you think about it, we have all of these asteroids that are coming towards Earth. Maybe if we build robots that we can sit up there and do heroic poses as they smash into them, maybe we can save the day with them.
Or they'll just let it kill us all, and then they'll survive and take over the world.
No, they don't have processes.
They'll be mid-flight, and they'll be away from the Earth, away from the explosions.
Yeah.
They'll come back and just, you know, take over.
Stephen Hawking did warn us against this.
Are dead.
So.
Like, specifically about this.
The quote was, computers can, in theory, emulate human intelligence and exceed it. Success in creating effective AI could be the biggest event in human history of our civilization, or the worst, we just don't know.
No.
So we cannot know if we will be infinitely helped by AI, or ignored by it and sidelined, or conceivably destroyed by it.
The most terrifying part about technology, and this is the part where I think Bill Gates is on this point with regards to it, was there is a point at which technology evolves. When we reach a certain point for technology, things sped up. Like, there was nothing until, like, the 60s and 70s, and then we created computers, and then from that point forward, computers got smaller and smaller and smaller, and we have cell phones now. And the technological jump.
But now we want to go bigger with the phones.
Well, so that's the, no, here's the thing.
Yeah. We don't want to have three tablets.
They're going to make a Surface tablet the size of so it'll fit in your pocket.
But in the 90s, we were going, like, the joke was it was going to be, like, microscopic, like a phone for hands.
I just remember, like... From a hello,
yeah, fucking Will Ferrell. And now it's getting yeah.
Too late. It was that tiny little phone.
Somebody discovered you could watch porn on it, and now the screens are getting bigger.
No, yeah, because it's porn. Yeah, it's wrong, right. But
that's why Betamax lost.
But the rule was, and this is the part where it's the scariest, is that a computer can think faster and can run things, do things longer. They don't need sleep. They don't need food. They don't make the same processes. You can have multiple computers working on the same project together. Once we create an artificial intelligence that we can basically set on a project, technology on this planet is going to increase exponentially. It's going to make the boom of computers look like the entire Stone Age.
Well, that multiple computers working on the same project thing is actually something that Google is playing with. They're thinking about making their own gaming streaming service where you can use lower-end rigs for PC gaming. Because Google's doing all the processing power, and that's the actual computer
that
itself.
That is not at all what I'm saying. That no, is like the furthest from the point
it's
I'm saying.
It's a Google branch off from what you were saying.
I'm talking about computers making technology, and you're talking about Google's computers playing games for you.
Multiple computers doing the same project is what I branched off from.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the fact that, like, the technological jump is going to be, like, massive. Like, one day we're using cell phones, and the next day we are cell phones.
I will have this glass of wine in your face, sir. How dare.
No wine for you, madam. But it's crazy the way technology kind of jumps forward. But I was trying to get into the asterisk. You guys ruined my segue, by the way.
Segues be damned.
There's an asteroid coming by Earth on Tuesday at 3 a.m. Pacific time. It is 210 WC9. That's the name of it. Because
it was discovered
so
in 2010.
Good. They're so good at naming these things. Am I right?
They are.
It's the size of the Statue of Liberty.
Jeez.
So
That's big compared to us.
Yeah.
You can destroy a city with that asteroid. If that asteroid was to hit Los Angeles, most of Los Angeles would be gone. In fact, I think it's not so much the actual impact zone, but the effects of around it. But don't worry, because it's going to fly about 126,000 miles away from Earth. But to give you some perspective, that is exactly the middle point between the moon and Earth. So it's in that little that danger zone, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anything that comes danger between zone. The moon and Earth, that's a danger zone to me.
Would it be a highway to the danger zone?
Maybe. Highway to the...
But you're not even going to be able to see it with your naked eye. I don't think there's any real point.
No, that doesn't matter.
Like, unless you already have a telescope. I wouldn't say go out and buy one just so you can look at this thing.
Why not? If you got a kid, teach her how to look at stars. Why you got to be such a native Nancy?
I'm sure with technology nowadays, you can find it online.
Someone
will have
a telescope.
Yeah, just record it and watch it on the internet.
You find it later, not at 3 a.m.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to be up at 3 a.m.
The main problem with it is it is moving about 28,000 miles per hour. Which, you know...
That's why you're going to only see it for half a damn second. That's why you rely on people recording it in slow motion.
Yeah.
And then you can watch it in all of its glory.
Tracking telescope. Mm-hmm.
Somehow being shaped like the Statue of Liberty, too.
That would be awesome.
And then...
it is tubular, almost, I think, is what it was. Like, it's... Not like that. I don't mean, like, the phrase, that the asteroid is tubular.
You're giving me shit for saying dude, and you're using tubular and dope in your sentences.
Dude, calm down. But the thing is, we lost that asteroid for 8 years. 8 years.
Did we lose it, really?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. So we discovered it in 2010, and someone was all like, oh, we should keep an eye on this thing. It might be a problem later. And then for 8 years, no one knew where it went. And then it just came closer, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's the asteroid from 2010.
I mean, it's not like it was under your couch or anything like that, or you accidentally put your phone in the fridge, but...
Space is a big place, and no one kept track of the path it was taking. And they're all like, that might be a problem later. And then, like, 8 years later, they're all like, oh, shit, there it is. And now this
Well, wasn't that during the time when NASA was having a big financial problem?
NASA's always having... You know they're always doing garage sales? They're like selling their NASA pencils and jackets on the front lawn of NASA every Saturday to be able to possibly build this Space Force.
Can we go and get a NASA pencil?
Maybe.
They're rebranding to Space Force.
Space Force! God damn it. Because no one knows NASA.
We need to get Master Chief on the Space Force.
Master Chief?
Master Chief.
How about Master Chef? That's more believable.
We could put both. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
we can have both. Master Chef on the rockets.
So there is a asteroid apparently missed in April.
We already have Cortana, so why not?
Shit. We missed this asteroid, by the way, in April. We did not notice it till right after, like, was it was flying by us. And it was the size of a football field.
Wait, it happened in April.
Yes.
Nobody fucking knew anything about it.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
And we're just now going, oh, there it is.
It was discovered about one day before, and this asteroid that's flying by on Tuesday.
How close was that one?
Close, but not as close as this one.
Okay.
So it buzzed by us, but it didn't, like,
naked eye.
But this one is pretty dangerous. Mm-hmm. This one here is, like, the closest we've had an asteroid in a while, not counting the dinosaur killer.
Asteroid.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's something to worry about.
You know, I mean, if you believe in the dinosaurs existing separately from
humans. Oh, my God. What are you, Kyle Pilkington now?
pointing it out.
The man was driving around with dinosaurs.
There are probably listeners that are against science like that, and man totally walked with the dinosaurs.
I'm sorry, if you're against science and, like,
and Adam and
the
Eve.
Globe and stuff like that, why are you using a computer? I mean... That's just tools.
There are a lot of people who use computers.
I'm just saying, if you don't believe in the Earth being round, then you are basically supporting the technology that is propagating this belief towards the masses.
I also
want to
point out that if it was a flat Earth, cats would have knocked everything off it by now.
100%. There'd be nothing left.
And stared at you while they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those cats are the worst.
Smug look on their faces.
But, yeah, no, so, I mean, it's nothing to worry about, right? We're all going to be fine, right?
Time around.
Yeah, I just...
And then in, what, 2 months, it's going to come around again, and it's going to be even closer?
It's just NASA...
It's like the cat that you turn your eye from for a second, and then look back, and it's closer to you.
NASA keeps pulling this thing as though, like, we know what we're doing, we keep track of things, nothing would ever basically get to the point where it was going to crash into Earth.
Now we got the robots.
You keep, like, losing and not noticing asteroids. Like, that's your job, NASA. Like... Stop trying to control your RC car on Mars. You're not getting anything. Just keep track on things that could kill us.
Things that could kill us, like the robots?
No. We're going to be safe.
What if they were controlled by Jim Carrey?
Oh, you're doing a segues now? Okay. No, yeah, take it over.
Not only you.
Yeah, you do it.
Jim Carrey supposedly... Maybe, hopefully, the man with a thousand faces, or the rubber face, what was it?
What do you mean, hopefully he's the man with a thousand faces?
I don't know. Hopefully, starring as Dr. Robotnik
in the new
Sonic Hedgehog.
You're doing great leading into the subject.
You are the worst.
I am. I know. You take over from now on.
Hang on. Where's your cup? Let me knock it off the table.
You're not a cat. No, you lead the subject. I like this. I like this. Go for it.
So, Dr. Eggman, fat robot villain,
Dr.
over.
Robotnik. Eggman
was his name.
Eggman was a nickname, madam. Dr. Robotnik was his actual name.
It's the only name I recognize.
Okay, well.
Fucking nerd. Push your glasses up higher.
I'm a nerd. Rage!
Oh, wait, they're broken from all the beatings you took as a kid, you fucking nerd.
That's not true.
Look, if Sonic calls him Eggman, I'm going to call him Eggman. Because
I think that's
his Sonic's
insult.
A bully. Sonic is a bully, and I'm behind him.
I think you're referencing the cartoon, and that's not canon.
What is wrong with you?
No, only the comics are canon. The cartoons are not.
So he was currently in talks to play Dr. Robotnik, right?
He is currently in talks to play Dr. Robotnik, which, by the way, I want to point this out. He's called Eggman for a reason, a nickname.
It's because
he's
like an egg.
Fat.
He's shaped
fat,
like an
egg.
He's got a pointy top head.
Oh, there was a movie.
One day I made an Easter egg that looked kind of like... I gave it a mustache.
I can't remember the movie it was, but Jim Carrey was working on a movie at one point. And it was a character we had to gain a lot of weight for. And he basically signed up for the movie. He was going to do the movie. And then as he was getting closer and closer...
Does he only do characters now?
No, not really. But he was going closer and closer to the date. And he just couldn't put on the weight. And so we literally called him and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so that's
kind of dick.
That's the thing I'm worried about here. Mm. Is that if he's literally playing a fat man again, if he can't get his shit together and gain the weight that's needed...
That's a lot of weight to gain, though.
Like, are people going to be all...
And in very specific areas.
But people who are fans of Sonic the Hedgehogs are weirdos. Okay, I've been to Rule 34, and I've seen the Sonic the Hedgehog porn. That stuff is creepy, okay? That stuff is, like, weird. I wasn't looking for it specifically.
Oh,
I was just doing
weren't.
Research.
Yeah, for sure, just research.
Looking into this whole Sonic the Hedgehog thing.
Yeah, so you go to Rule 34 for the research on Sonic?
Well, isn't that where you get all your information?
From
I go there for the articles.
For the art, there's no articles.
For the articles.
Literally only
articles. No, it's all articles. See, if you guys...
It's art.
No, it's articles. I go there to read.
No, art, and the other word was testicles, and you're merging them together.
No, okay. So, I go there for the lulls with the comments.
Uh-huh.
I call them articles.
After you wank it to Sonic.
No, whoa. Tails, let's be clear.
But never Knuckles?
Never Knuckles. That's...
Because he's colored?
Oh, no, you're thinking of, what's his name, Shadow. Knuckles is red.
He's still a color!
Okay, well, yeah, then in that case, so is Sonic.
Didn't say he wasn't!
So wait, if I'm doing it to Tails, and Tails is the same color as Knuckles, then where's the problem, Monica?
He's not.
Where's the race cards you're trying to throw down on this?
Tails is orange, Knuckles is red.
Okay, first of all, I'm fucking colorblind, bitch. Slightly. So those all look the same to me. Those shades are very similar.
They all just look like brown and green to you, right?
They all look like a shade of orange. You're a monster. All I'm saying is I'm worried that talks with Jim Carrey to play a fat man role, which he's done in the past, he's fallen out of, is going to basically lead to heartache for people. Because Jim Carrey he's crazy. He's a psychopath.
Yeah,
he's
remember...
He's got lots of problems.
I remember he would book an entire theme park to just go by himself to fucking Six Flags.
You shut your mouth like you wouldn't do that?
I mean, that's kind of a dick move.
If you got Jim Carrey money, you're doing
it. Yeah.
That's a dick move,
though. You don't want people harassing you. You don't want to wait those
lines. In the middle of summer on a weekend.
Well, first of all, this is what I will tell you, 100%.
I don't know.
That's fucked up.
You're a bad parent.
It is.
In today's modern age, you're a bad parent if you decide to go to a theme park without looking on the theme park's calendar. To be able to close down a theme park for a day for your private party, you have to basically do that in advance. The theme park will put that on their calendar, on their website, saying, closed for this day. So if you're the guy that goes like, oh, let's go to Disneyland last minute today, and then you drive down there and it's all like, sorry guys. It's like, you're the bad guy. Why are you planning road trips without thinking through?
Well, I agree with you on some point, but I also see Jim Carrey as the guy that buys out the entire theater worth of tickets to see Avengers in peace on his own.
No, you're thinking of Gabe. So we have this person that we're no longer friends with because he's a piece of shit. shout out to Gabe. And so he bought this pass. You get these buy a ticket and get a ticket a day passes.
Okay.
They're like kind of season passes for theaters.
Okay.
And so this is before, I guess they've stopped it now, but you could basically pre-order a ticket a day, like each day, and it could be for the same movie, the same showing.
Oh.
And so as it was leading up to the Avengers, he would reserve each day one of the seats in the row. He reserved every seat in the row.
He managed to get all of them without anyone intercepting?
He did it early enough. So he got all the seats in the row, and he actually showed one of our friends all the tickets. Like, look what I got.
What?
And so this asshole, like, he's like, everyone's basically sitting in the theater. Like, it's probably booked house. And he's there sitting in a row of fucking seats all by himself. And I bet you, if anyone tried to sit in one of those seats, he went to the manager. I guarantee you he did that. I bought these seats fair and square.
Did he say why?
He's an asshole.
Why?
Because he didn't want anyone to sit next to him.
That's
like terrible. If you carried around, it's like if you carried around caution tape to put on the outside of a public restroom so you were the only one to use all the stalls.
That's pretty smart. That's pretty smart. Props. You give props on that right away. That is awesome. So I have a strategy that's kind of, it's not the same level of dickery, but I've been told I'm an asshole because of it. When I go to a theater later in the showing when it's not like going to be booked, packed, salad. I would see a person sitting in a group, right? And I'll go, what I'll do is I'll set our seats one over. So there's
right.
a buffer seat.
The
mentality
here, the buffer seat because
no one's going to take that ticket. Right? It's not going to be booked fully solid. It's
and
like
nobody
a,
wants
like,
to be stuck
a month into
movie.
The showing.
Two sets of people.
Yeah.
Well, it was about, I would say, 2.5 months into the showing of Black Panther.
Okay.
And we did this. And
yeah,
so there
was
a seat
like
over,
right
and,
before they took it out of the theaters.
And none of the theater is like fully booked at all. When we're doing it and when the movie starts,
there
the theater is not
six
fully
groups.
Booked. A guy bought the ticket between our seats.
Even though there was like all the
all
other...
the other seats. He bought the ticket. I'm like, who does that?
Maybe it was prime seating. Did you get good
seats? We had a good row.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, maybe he just wanted, like, to be right in the
middle.
I'm
just saying, like,
the best sound.
I had friends tell me I was the dick there.
Then he would be sitting there in each seat going, caw! And listening for the echo.
You can't do that in theaters nowadays. You have to buy your ticket seat in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
if you're smart, you scope out first, though.
But, so I was told I was the dick in that situation. I think that's just, like, proper. Like, I'm not doing that on, like, opening night. I'm not that kind of a dick.
No.
And expecting no one's going to sit there and then throwing a fit when someone
sits
there.
Well, after all the nerds have finished watching it 100 times.
Shit.
And then you go when it's in the middle of the night and nobody's going to be fucking, or the middle of the day, and nobody's going to fucking be there.
Yeah. Well, talking about...
For Avengers, that was hilarious, though.
Talking about people who might be viewed as others by jerks, I want to talk about the whole This Is America, American Pharoah. Kind of debacle. Now, when I first heard This Is America, I thought that song was awesome. I went out and I bought it. I don't buy music. I listen to it on the radio.
I still do think that song is awesome.
I listened to it on YouTube, but I went out and I bought that song. And I still listen to it every once in a while. But for me, I don't like the song as much as I like the music video.
That music video is profound.
Yeah, I love the imagery.
It's so well done. And just his... Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, he is a... amazing artist, performance artist. He plays a character. He like embodies the role. Anything that he does on stage, even his earliest works, when he was really young, before he even got on Community, he was on these like online kind of like internet like shit. And there's this one bit where they're talking about how funny they are, and he drank like a glass of bleach and died, and that's how funny he was. And it was like, what the heck is that about? But like, he played it as the character who would think it was funny that he was going to die. Like, he basically embodies the character he's playing. He does a really good job. Most people really only know him as Troy from Community.
I did love him as Troy.
He was so good as Troy, as the man-child.
Yeah. Oh, I did love him as Troy. But so like, innocent.
But, like, even him with, like, Atlanta and all those other things, like, he embodies the characters he plays. He puts a lot of work into them. And when he basically performed This Is America... it was groundbreaking, and it caused a lot of people to take note, take interest, immediately get memed. It got the memed out of the meme the shit out of it.
People, it's still going.
People were all like, do you guys realize that when you meme This Is America, you are literally like embodying into the problem that he's trying to take a note of in the piece.
But they are funny memes.
I will say he does kind of embody, I want to say probably one of the earliest forms of memeing. In my opinion, the satirical Jim Crow like depictions of black people were almost that of a meme. Like, it was so ridiculous.
Wildly offensive.
Well, no. Back then, it wasn't specifically offensive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
it was
commonplace.
It was offensive,
but
nobody cared.
It was offensive to the people who were the minority that society decided weren't worth their time. And that's the part that makes it, like, we can look at it retrospectively and say it's offensive, but back then it wasn't. To be offensive, it has to basically offend the society in which
it
takes place.
That's because the only people in the society that gave a shit were white people, and they all found it funny.
Well, people didn't give a shit were the white people.
That's what I'm saying.
Any kind of voice at all were white,
and they didn't care.
No, and it's true, but I mean, like, he basically embodies those bits into the work, and it's just beautifully done, like the dance moves, the styles. There's a lot of kind of chorusal work. But it came out that there was a song that was made like 2 years ago called American Pharoah, and it is incredibly similar. And the style, the storyline.
Similar beat, similar concept.
Well, and so the one thing I will say, because I personally give credit to Donald Glover, he doesn't seem to me like the kind of guy, he's not a Shia LaBeouf. Like, I don't assume he's going to walk up and put like a bag on his face that says, I'm not famous anymore. Although if he just showed up at a show with a bag that says, I'm not famous anymore, it would be brilliant. Like, that would be hilarious.
Whenever you mention Shia LaBeouf, I can only think of that one
video. David Cantor, I think it was, that did the Shia LaBeouf music video.
Oh my god.
So it's this one bit about how Shia LaBeouf is like hunting this woman to kill her. And it's like a kind of like a horror song, but it's done so really well. And he just did the audio. One of the lines, actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. And so it's this really hilarious like kind of song. They released it as audio, and it really took off. People really liked it, so he made a music video. And so it's like basically from the point of view of like a stage performance. Like people in paper mache hats, interpretive dance to kind of convey the story of this lady running through the wilderness trying to escape Shia LaBeouf.
We'll show it to you after this.
And so she gets to safety, and then in the end, like, Shia LaBeouf is there and he gets her. And that's kind of like the whole bit. And at the very end of the YouTube video, the music video, after the performance ends, like everyone kind of like just takes a stop, the audience is empty except for one person. Shia LaBeouf in a tuxedo stands up and furiously just starts applauding. And like it's like this stone face, and it just stops and just stares, and then it ends.
So and, like, fucking weird.
It was so good.
Oh, I love it.
But that being said, it's yeah, I don't think he's gonna do anything like that. But it'd be hilarious if Childish Gambino did do that.
Shit, if he did.
But I look at the piece, and I look at American Pharoah, and I will say both are amazing. Both tell a vision. Both tell a story. They explain people's frustrations and plights. And I'm saying that as a white guy. I have probably no real value to basically be saying this shit. Cisgender white male. What the fuck? But, but I'm saying, like, it does. It's amazing. Both pieces are amazing. I would not say that either of them takes away anything from the other. Because while American Pharoah tells a great story, Childish Gambino's work towards This Is America, I don't feel it was a piece that was intended to be just listened to. I think it's a piece that requires the viewing of the music video, because it's such a good performance piece. You can listen to it as two different ways. You can hear the music video without ever seeing hear the song without hearing the music video, and you will get this like kind of poppy kind of vibe to it, where it's just like kind of like a fun but like kind of a little bit like dark and kind of ambiguous story piece.
Yeah, it's very ambiguous.
But when you watch the music video, it's painting a very specific picture.
Right.
It's about like the reverence we show towards guns, but not the victims. It basically like it shows the fact that like America can send black people into this Jim Crow kind of eras, that we might change the way we call the laws. The laws basically still form that effect and the way it holds the community down. And American Pharoah paints that entire picture with just words. Like there's no music video. The creator of American Pharoah, I'm trying to remember his name, Jace Harley. He is not a big name. He's not a little name.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
He's made quite a lot of music, and he's been doing it for a while. And I think one of his songs actually did take off at one point. I don't remember which one it was. But he's just he's not a huge name. And so you might not get a music video from every artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying, like, you know, he couldn't have created a groundbreaking visual picture like Childish Gambino did with those works. But I feel like you get more from the story with Childish Gambino's song.
I would tend to agree on that one. I think that there was definite inspiration drawn.
Well, that's what Jace basically says.
But that doesn't mean that it was ripped off or stolen or anything like that, because that type of style has been, like we talked about this earlier, it's been around for a while. It's been around for a long time. There are enough differences that I think he's going to have any, if it goes to a lawsuit.
Well, Harley is not bringing a lawsuit.
If it does end up going to a lawsuit, there's enough differences where it may not be
close to getting
anywhere.
And then I'll bring that up in a second as to why I don't think that'll ever really work in a lawsuit. But Harley is doing, like, in my opinion, guy's like a stand-up fucking champ. Like, this guy's awesome. Like, his response was basically, I feel, like, extremely humbled to be recognized and labeled as one of the original inspirations. I don't know if Childish Gambino came out and said that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Like, but did he say anything about that?
Well, Childish Gambino hasn't said anything about this last time I checked. But the fact that he takes that a point and says, he says that, you know, this is recognized as one of the most original inspirations and the most important pieces of music and visual arts of our time. So he sees great deference to the work of Childish Gambino. Like, he says this piece is amazing and it's very important. And it has. It's been a very good vocal point and story for a lot of people. And then past that point, he appreciates all the love and support. People basically saying, like, he stole his work. But he says, don't let people's views of this basically affecting one song versus the other dilute the message that's being said in both songs. I mean, he's being...
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty big, right? Like,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's I can't really say it anymore because Tom Petty's dead. But Tom Petty was petty.
Super petty.
Like, if any of Tom Petty's songs, like, were even, like, sampled or even similar, Tom Petty would bring a lawsuit. Petty is very petty.
That's why we use Tom Petty as an example of how petty you can be.
I feel bad saying it now that he's dead, though.
You shouldn't.
I'm like, yeah, that's Tom Petty level petty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a very big difference. And I would say that, you know, a lot of people have said there's a lot of differences that makes it there. But I would say the biggest difference is that there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new in the story that both these people are saying. There's nothing new in the style of music they're doing. The style of music that's been done is a style that's been done, like, a lot. the beats, the rhythms, the musical tones, the way they say it, are very similar to what a lot of other people have done. So there's nothing there that basically is like, oh, you copy me. It's like, yeah, but that song's like a style that's been around for like 20,000 years that I basically was emulating that you were emulating.
Yeah, like, oh, you're speak rapping. Shorthand version of what you're saying is Simpsons did it.
Well, no, I'm saying like it's a common like style of singing and a common style of rhythm that basically has been used by a lot of people in the past. And saying you bit my shit, and it's like, no, I use a style that's been around for a while. You just happened to use that same style 2 years ago.
Right. I mean, it's not like it's the Bethesda thing where you were able to pinpoint exactly what glitch is in the code. It's a very similar style to be sure, but there's not exactly like a code to the music that was stolen by Harley.
And very sadly, the life,
from Harley rather,
the experiences of Childish Gambino, and the experiences of Harley are not experiences that are limited to just one point of view. There are just so many people who have experienced the same feeling.
And that's why I'm saying that
it needs to keep being
something
said.
That needs to be talked about.
Yeah,
I think the fact that Donald Glover brought it into the forefront. Like, not many rap songs, I mean, other than, like, friggin' Anaconda with Nicki Minaj.
Got none of that.
Like, they don't normally become, like, such a conversation.
Yeah.
And this one did. And it's so political and
inappropriate.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly think both songs are great. After having... If anything that this controversy has done, it's made me listen to American Pharoah, and I think it's a good song. I think it's a little bit heavier in the lyrics. It has to be for what it was. I mean, I don't know.
Childish Gambino took it from heavy in the lyrics to heavy in the visuals.
I don't know if that was always his intent with making a music video, but like it, delivering at the same time as the release, that's a really powerful message. And
definitely.
I think they're both great pieces, and I think they both have a place.
Having him
in
use his more prominent figure to deliver this message and then bring attention to Harley also is very important.
Well, I don't
as
think
well.
He brought attention to Harley.
Well, Harley got attention.
Yeah.
As a result of
I'm
this, whether it was
that.
Intentional or not. And it's important that both pieces are heard.
Yeah.
And that more pieces are made.
So I want to take it to a slightly lighter tone now because I want to talk about Post of the Week. We did the Tweet of the Week on episode one, and then we basically skipped it because we didn't have enough time for the Post of the Week for episode two. But so there is a video on YouTube. You can look it up, anyone listening. It's called Toxic Masculinity, and it's by creators Third Leg Studios. This is a video specifically about men who, like, this guy comes in with a keyboard, and he's like, oh, I want to learn how to play the keyboard, and his friends start making fun of him about the fact that he wants to play the keyboard. And he basically just loses his shit and says, why is my girlfriend's friend so supportive of her, but we can't be supportive of each other? Why do we have to be so, like, aggressive and mean to each other? Why do we have to basically live this life like this?
Girls are mean to each other, too, but
it's not based off of femininity
like it is with men.
And so, like, they go, like, oh, yeah, you know, you're right, I apologize. And so the one guy's like, oh, you know, I want to cook. And then the other guy is like, oh, I'm going to tell you what I want to do, and he runs off. And so they start becoming more supportive. And then the third guy in the room, not the fourth one that ran off, but the third guy goes, like, oh, I want to be a pastry chef. I want to be a cake designer. He wants to design cake tops.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And so all the men basically start like going like, okay, look, I was talking about being a musician.
There's a point here,
and being a cake designer is a very feminine thing.
There's no men's jobs or women's jobs.
So they start making fun of him for that, and then it basically delves back into the toxic masculinity.
Aren't some of the top cake designers men?
Yes,
right. I was just gonna say that.
So then, like the joke, the big joke at the end is the guy comes in from outside, the one that ran off to go show him what he's into, and he's in a gimp suit. He's like, "This is what I'm into," and then like everyone just kind of looks, and then the thing like ends. The video ends. It's like, we're being supportive now, but he was gone for the whole part where they're making fun of the other guy. So the post of the week, the thing that I think was the best of this, is that it was poster L013. He posted this, and it was literally like in a vacuum. I want you to understand, like, there's these comments.
But it says...
Oh, yeah, it's a girl. Sorry, it's a girl. She. Man. Sorry. Wow.
Wait,
did I just assume a gender?
You did. Nice job. Yeah.
Toxic masculinity. cisgendered white man. So she posted this, and I want to point out because
that's only if she identifies as a she.
This is not. Oh, god damn it! So whatever this person is, they posted this not as a reply to someone else's comment, but literally just in the moment, like in just the vacuum, and it actually got upvoted to being really well liked. So it's at the top of the post, kind of, and it was, as the granddaughter of a baker, I feel obligated to point this out. All of the fine-tuned muscle control and strength built up by cake decorating makes a baker's hands perfect for strangling people. This is what she posted.
This is the internet for you.
I'm just saying, that took a turn.
And it took a turn fast.
I'm just saying, like, everyone's all like, oh, yeah, supportive. Yeah, I'm honestly hands, surprised it didn't happen sooner. Murdering people. So it's like the saying, it's like, hey, look, if you want to make fun of a cake designer, realize they could strangle the life out of you in, like, 5 seconds flat.
Yeah, and they are very adept at wielding weapons like knives. Much like cooks.
Cake carvers.
Yep.
But I just thought that was a really funny... I saw that and Amelia was all like, this is the post of the week.
Oh, for sure.
I am now no longer relegating it just to tweets. It is now also allowing in YouTube comments, as long as they're not vulgar and hateful. I am going to allow them to become the post of the week. Even Facebook comments, to be honest. I'm going to keep an eye out for those, too. We might get a couple racist ones in. I'll just tell
you're
going
to get a lot of racist ones. Facebook can turn AI pretty fast.
But we don't have a lot more to talk about before we go. We're getting a little close to the end. But I did want to talk about this because I think this is actually pretty important. So there is a game called Omega Labyrinth Z. It is a game that is being released on PlayStation. It's in Asia. There's a lot of games that are released in Asia, specifically like Japan.
Really?
Specifically Japan.
You don't say.
That follow the same style. And I don't understand it. I don't think there's any value to it. They're stupid. But it's a game in which you have a picture of somebody, mm-hmm. and you do certain things in the game, and then the picture releases an item of clothing. Like, they're all like, now there's one less piece of clothing on the item. And it's like, you're not interacting with it as if it's like an actual living thing. It's like a living picture.
Your goal for playing the game is to strip naked somebody in the picture.
And they do it differently in a lot of different, like, one of these stupid ideas. Like
one of those pen things where you, like, tilt it and all the clothes come off?
Those are actually probably easier, but there's apparently multiple girls in this. Look. This game specifically is you have to go through a labyrinth and fight monsters, and then, like, you fighting the monsters allows you to do these other things, which leads to this, and then you sexually stimulate these pictures of women to make their clothes come off.
You stimulate
and
a picture?
How does this tie
by passing
story?
On the screen.
Wait, like on your phone?
No, I think there is some support for the touchpad on the controller, because, you know, the PlayStation 4 has the touchpad thing on there. But regardless, there is, I think, a PC version of it.
I'm confused. You stimulate a picture how?
By tapping on it in certain areas.
It's
like this is where their butt is on the picture, and now like their butt is stimulated.
Oh, okay.
There's a part I guess in the game, and I saw this on there, and I thought it was
those
ridiculous.
Pixels are very sensitive.
There's a part where you put.
It's because you can't see it on the touchpad for the PlayStation controller.
I don't know.
So how do you know you're touching it right?
You have your finger on there, and it's a mouse, and you move it around, and you just tap. I don't.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that there's a part in there also where you apparently dab like. Honey on the girls, and this little this puppy comes and licks the honey off.
Okay, I'm not speaking for all girls.
No, it's creepy.
I'm not speaking for all girls on this, but I don't want anything that sticky anywhere on my body.
Well, I'm just saying I had to see this video because people were talking about it, and I'm like, this has to be really offensive, right? This puppy licks, and I'm like, no, okay, this is still a picture. It's not a 3D world, and this dog is like on the picture, running around the picture, licking the honey off. There's no realism there whatsoever. It's like a dog licking honey off a sheet of paper.
So it's like a still picture, and then this animated dog is like...
Yeah, licking the, like the dog. There's more animation work in the dog than there is in the women that you're objectifying in the game. And so here's the thing, though. It's getting banned in the US and the UK, and it's not getting banned because it's a stupid game, which is the first thing, I think. The game should get banned because it's a stupid game.
Sounds like horrible production value.
But it's getting banned for a very specific reason. So in the UK, there is a very good rule. It basically has to do with child pornography.
There's child porn in this, too?
No. There's, I think when you're in Asia, you go to school older than the age of consent. I think. I know in Canada, you go to school for longer than you're the age of consent. Because they have, like, more than, they have, like, 13 grades in Canada. And so you can be, like, 19 and still be in high school.
That's the very end, though. That's
not... But well, so some of the characters
in America,
are in schoolgirl clothes.
In America, you're out at 18, and if you're born super late in the year and go late, 19.
I graduated at 17.
Okay, but I graduated at almost 19.
Oh, wow.
Just based off of where my birth year was. Jeez. Shut your dirty whore mouth. So...
But
the point is that you could have a relationship with somebody that's... say, I don't know, a sophomore, and have them be several years younger than you.
So, but it's these are anime characters,
still be
okay?
In high school.
All anime characters look like they're 15.
That is true.
Right.
Or 12.
And,
yeah.
And so the UK...
like 30 or something.
People in the UK are enacting their rule where you're not allowed to
cartoon
depict
magic.
Cartoon children. And they're using that to kind of attack it. They're also saying, like, children playing
simple.
The game are going to be objectified. And like,
there's
like,
a simple
all,
solve to this. Just call them mutants.
If you were a kid... Oh, God, Monica. Why do you always bring up this argument? The mutant action figure argument is ridiculous.
It's absurd. It's so absurd.
So another recap. People who are listening, they've already heard this argument. But so... Marvel basically had this thing where they wanted to make action figures, and they were shipping it out of China, and there was a tariff for figurines of humans. And so Marvel successfully argued in court that they are not humans, they are mutants, and therefore not subject to the tariff for humanoid figurines.
It's the same bullshit argument that people used way back in the day that still causes confusion now about tomatoes being vegetables and not fruits.
That's not like a long day. That was like 5 years ago.
I said back in the day.
Oh, that's a really
it's like vanilla ice.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which somebody was playing at a Best Buy, and I was like, what?
Oh, God.
What time is this?
There's a Best Buy's here?
Yeah.
They still exist? They haven't shut their doors down? Holy shit, Best Buy. Get your shit together.
What era is this
in? I know. But yeah, no, so I mean, I'm happy that this game's getting shut down.
It sounds very,
It's stupid.
Defensive.
I don't care about the way nerds get their rocks off, to be honest. As long as it's not hurting anybody, I don't care. But I care about bad games being in the industry. And the reason I care is that there's an argument that I firmly believe in, that video games are art.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things that ruin that argument for me. Stupid games like this that are just shitty, stupid games. And then games like Fortnite, which are like a game where you literally create a world where people fight each other in it. Like, that's not art. That is literally just like mashing figurines together. Look, just go sit in your room and mash your action figures together, and that's your whole night.
You know,
I'll give you point tallies if you want.
It depends on how well it's
PlayStation
done,
is blocking this game because they think some of the anime characters might be too young, but they said not a goddamn thing about that scene in Witcher 3 with the fucking crones stroking the kid legs while hitting on Geralt.
Yeah, but that was chopped
horrifying.
Off kid legs.
Dude, that was horrifying. I have never in my life regretted a choice in a game up until I played that.
So this is the thing with their argument is really strong in this, by the way. They refer to one of the characters that you can strip the clothes off and sexualize as being a first-year student and is depicted holding a teddy bear.
Okay. That's like nail in the coffin.
That's done. I didn't want to bring that up, but I just think that's a...
Stick a fork in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty damning.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think you can back out of that one.
Oh. All right, well, that's a good way place to end the show, I think.
You said this was lighter, right?
No, I didn't say lighter.
You said this was a lighter topic?
Maybe I did. I don't know. That's disturbing. God. All right.
We should have ended on Post of the
Week. Hey, Erica, did you have fun?
Yeah. Talked about some interesting things.
Oh.
Some things I may not ever forget.
I'm sorry if I give you nightmares tonight.
That's the goal.
To give her nightmares?
To never forget.
Oh, never forget.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Well, I hope you had fun. We really enjoyed having you on. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. If you ever want to come back, you're more than welcome.
Of course.
We'll probably have nicer topics next time.
Like, I don't control this stuff.
Yeah.
The world exists, and I just live in it.
We are selecting these things.
Am I, though?
What does that say about you?
I wanted to make you really nervous.
Mission accomplished. And with that, we end.
Alright, you guys have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Forsooth Podcast is a trademark of Five Fire Monkeys Entertainment. Forsooth Podcast is brought to you by Five Fire Monkeys Entertainment. No badgers were hurt in the recording or producing of Forsooth Podcast. If you or anyone you know was offended by this podcast, please contact your local congressman.